Welcome to Good Money Moves, the show where we share financial tips and advice to help you feel financially empowered. My name is Jenna Tobble, AVP of Marketing here at First Alliance Credit Union, and with me today is Jordan Kaler, our Loan Portfolio Manager here at First Alliance, and we are going to be digging into a very important topic and timely. We are going to be talking all about holiday spending, holiday budgeting, and give you some tips to help you feel a little bit more in control over your money this holiday shopping season. But before we dig into that, Jordan, why don't you share just a little bit about yourself for our listeners and kind of what you do here at the credit union?
Yeah. So I'm Jordan Kaler. I've been here since 2019, and I'm the loan portfolio manager, as she said, and so my day-to-day kind of looks like I oversee our underwriting team for both consumer loans, which would be car loans, credit cards, debt consolidations, and I also oversee essentially the underwriter for our business team too. Keep an eye on our portfolio, make sure, you know, everything's performing how it should, or figure out, you know, make recommendations for adjustments that we ought to do either to interest rates or things like that. So I really enjoy it. Very analytical. I like it.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here again. So let's just jump right into our topic today, because I feel like there's so much that we could talk about with this.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it that so many people tend to overspend during the holidays? And maybe what are some of the even like financial consequences that people don't think about when they're swiping that card to just like get all the stuff checked off their holiday to-do list?
Yeah, you know, I think my opinion would be that it's either a sense of compulsion or obligation when it comes to the holidays. And I think it's easy to swipe a card, especially if it's a credit card. Mm-hmm. It's easy to, there's less of a psychological attachment to your money when you swipe with a credit card versus cash.
Very true.
So it's easy to overspend and be like, oh yeah, this is only, you know, $20 here or $30 there. And next thing you know, your Christmas bill is, you know, for two people, say $1,300 or something. You're like, whoa,
yeah.
How'd that even happen? You know, I think, you know, let's say you charge $1,300 on a credit card. I mean, most credit cards are in the high 20s, maybe low 30% interest rate right now. And if all you're doing is making the minimum payments, it's going to take years to get out of debt from even just a $1,000 balance.
Yeah.
It can be, you know, straining on your finances or your monthly budget if you've got one in place. And just even like psychologically, just it can be very stressful when you've got credit card balances and things like that. And that's and the spirit of the holidays is not intended to be stressful, although it seems like it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the point that you made, you know, you feel like you have to be involved and you have to spend this money. And if for some reason you're not out there spending to the max to give gifts to your family or have this wonderful holiday experience, right, then you feel like maybe you're not celebrating right, or there's just a lot of societal pressure around the holidays to spend money, and which is why I think it's so important for us to be talking about this topic. And I think you kind of mentioned it to your budget, right? So how can somebody maybe build a realistic holiday budget, and what are some of the things that they should be thinking about when they are putting together a holiday spending budget?
Yeah, I think from my own experience, what I've found to be very helpful is figuring out, okay, first, who are we buying gifts for? So you figure out how many people you're buying gifts for.
Yeah.
And then setting like a cap for how much you're willing to spend per person. You know, so like, you know, for example, let's say that, you know, you've got five people and, you know, overall, you know, you can afford, say $500 for gifts. It's like, okay, well, that's either $100 a person, or maybe if it's like a kid or something, maybe I'll do $200 to your kids and maybe the remaining $300 to whoever's left over. And so it's really just planning a solid, like, this is our cap and sticking to it.
Yeah.
You know, I know with my wife and I, we pretty much allocate out just like that, where it's like, this much is for our son, this much is for my in-laws and my parents, and we write it down. And as soon as we spend towards someone, we jot down that we spent this much on this person, this is how much is left over, and then you decide, okay, well, do we want to get more, or do we want to shift that money somewhere else? You know?
Yeah, and gifts is like probably the biggest expenditure for mm-hmm. most people. But then I also think about, too, like, if you travel to see family, like, how mm-hmm. to, you should really be including that in your holiday budget. Mm-hmm. If you're a baker and you know you're going to be doing all kinds of baking, mm-hmm. like, how much is that extra to your grocery budget outside of your normal spending? Yep. And how can you maybe try to find some deals or to keep those costs down? Or how much do you need to really include in budget? And then wrapping paper alone gets so expensive, yeah. especially if you want the wrapping paper that doesn't rip the minute that you try to wrap your present. Because I have gone cheap sometimes, and it does not go well. I end up having to spend even more to get better wrapping paper just to wrap the gifts. So, like, all these little things, they add up so fast, and especially when it's, like, outside of that normal budget. But I think you made a really great point in just saying, like, who is it that you're buying for? What are the things that you know, need to spend money on, and really what's your comfort level mm-hmm. and what can you actually afford, I think is so important. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I think a lot of people just go into it without a plan. Mm-hmm. And I think having that budget in place is really, it's that plan, that spending plan for yourself, so you can feel in control over that holiday spending. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of want to dig into that a little bit more. So how can people maybe prioritize spending on gifts versus travel versus food, or, you know, other, you know, you get invited to holiday parties and things like that, that can kind of add to your holiday budget too. So how can somebody maybe dig into their holiday budget and start to prioritize some of these expenses for themselves as they're building out this holiday budget?
Yeah, I know one thing is, I'll say it, I'm going to sound like a broken record, at budget, you know, and figuring out, okay, for the holidays, whether, you know, if you allocate this much to gifts, this much to travel, and I think it's easy to get overwhelmed with events that you're invited to over the holidays. And so once you've established how much you can spend and maybe how much this event's going to run, how much this travel's going to run, it's a lot easier to decide, I can do this or I can't. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to say no. It's easy to, you know, be like, oh yeah, we really should, we want to, and then go for it. But if it's going to overextend you, the aftermath of having that financial stress afterwards is really not worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, and just figuring out, again, just kind of allocating how much you want to spend in one particular area or not, and then just sticking to it. You know, I think of, there have been a couple of years, you know, just specific to gifts. I'm thankful that all of my family is like a 15-mile radius of where we live, so for the most part. And so the travel isn't much for us, so we can have more toward gifts. And there have been a couple of years where, you know, they do a white elephant, and we're like, well, you know, we pretty much tapped out our budget, so we're going to have to sit out a white elephant this year, which is fine. You know,
isn't that where you just go and take some cans out of your cupboard and just put those in a gift bag, and that's your white elephant?
Yeah, they do it a little different, where it's like you buy new stuff, but you know, that's all right. So, but my mom, she does one where you pretty much recycle some old goods. I've re-gifted a few gifts from a white elephant.
Yes, regifting is a great option when you're tight on a holiday budget, for sure.
And it's good to declutter.
Yeah, kill two birds, one stone, right? Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I like, you know, that you kind of talk about, you know, you have your budget, and you just have to kind of figure out what buckets you can fill with mm-hmm. the money you have available. So if you do have to, you know, book flights and hotels and things for travel, then maybe you do have to dial back on the gift giving portion or the mm-hmm. food portion, you know, and really just have to balance out those priorities to fit within that budget, so you're mm-hmm. not straining your financial resources over this really short, what's really a short window of time, right? Yeah. You think the holiday shopping season is maybe 2 months, mm-hmm. November, December, really. Yeah. So when it comes to spending, though, like, do you recommend using a credit card over the holidays? You know, maybe if you do use a credit card, which you can use them to mm-hmm. your advantage. So what are maybe some of the pitfalls to really avoid when it comes to using a credit card for holiday shopping and really making sure that you're using the credit card in a responsible manner mm-hmm. so you don't overextend yourself?
Yeah, I know for me, we pretty much use our credit card for everything. We pay it off in full. And what I like to do is accumulate the rewards throughout the year, so that come the tail end for Christmas mm-hmm. shopping, I cash out the cash that you get back, so that the strain of purchasing the gifts is not as much. However, when you do that, like I said, you want to make sure that you pay it off in full, because the interest charge that you would get would far exceed any rewards that you'll ever get on a credit card. So it's really being mindful of whatever you do charge, make sure you can pay it off in full to avoid any interest charges and getting sucked into that cycle, I'll call it. I think it's easy to get sucked into a cycle of swiping the card and then carrying a small balance that slowly grows over time, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're like, how did I get to this position?
Yeah.
You know, and just no one wants to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very straining state to be in.
Yeah, you don't want to have that gift-giving regret is what I call that, because it is so, like we talked about earlier, it's so easy to get sucked into like that holiday spirit and just like, oh, I just want to give to everybody. Oh, I'll figure out a way to pay this off later. And you kind of convince yourself that you can handle it, only to maybe realize come January, February, when you get that first credit card statement, that you're like, oof, maybe I overdid it. And then you feel all this regret. And it's like, you don't want to feel that after having such like a joyous moment to like give all these gifts to the people that you love and like plan fun travel to see family that you maybe don't get to see very often. So I think going back to your point though about rewards cards, I think this time of year is a great time to really have a plan in place for using your rewards cards, because to your point, you can, you know, in some cases you can use that cash back feature for rewards cards to help maybe pay off some of that balance or even help put that towards gifts, depending on how that particular program works for your card. So I love that you mentioned the rewards card for that, because I think that's probably when a lot of people really rack up some points on their rewards cards, is over the holidays, for sure.
And if you can avoid cashing it out throughout the year, you feel like nothing, pretty much, when it comes to holiday gifts, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the You Choose rewards card that we've got here offers, I think it's 1.5% back, and then it has a variety of other, like, bonuses on your birthday and your anniversary that you've got the card. So it's got just, even you can accrue cash back with our card without even having to really swipe it.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Just, you kind of get rewarded just for having it as a benefit. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So what, let's say, you know, somebody didn't see this episode or didn't hear this episode in time, and now they're watching it post holidays and they're like, oh, I'm in this position where I have overextended myself. How can somebody maybe bounce back from that, having overspent over the holidays? What's a good strategy?
Yeah. So there's a few different strategies that you can use if you find yourself in a position where you may have overextended a little bit on your credit cards. One of them is going to be a debt consolidation loan. Like I said earlier, the interest rates on credit cards are going to be in the high 20s, low 30s in some of the bigger cards. With a debt consolidation, if you flip it over to what's called an installment loan, which is a fixed rate and a fixed monthly payment until it's paid off, those are going to have far lower rates than a credit card would be. I know the interest rate on an unsecured loan right now for us, if you've got a higher credit score, is going to be somewhere right around 10%, maybe 11%, which is a third of what the major credit card companies are going to charge you. So you can save on that interest. More will get applied to principal, and it'll get paid off sooner. You know, and then a different method, if you're unable to get approved for a consolidation, or say you don't even want to go down that route, you're like, I don't want to deal with it, you can do like a debt snowball method, which is really going to involve budgeting again. Like I said, broken record, budget.
But it's so important.
Yeah, exactly. So any extra that you've got, like, you know, Dave Ramsey kind of has this principle where your first step is save $1,000 for an emergency fund. And then after that, take whatever extra you've got in your budget and apply that towards your smallest balance card. So if you spread it out around a couple cards, take whatever extra, apply it on top of your minimum payment, and then you can get it paid down far sooner because you'll have more going to principal.
Yeah, awesome. No, I, you know, and we've talked about both of those strategies in past episodes of the show too. So if those do sound interesting, you go back and check out some of our past episodes where we talk a little bit more about debt consolidation and using credit cards and things like that. So what that does lead me to, though, is something that I think it maybe used to be called like layaway back in the day, but they call it buy now, pay later, essentially, right? Yeah. So I know the holidays are a huge time for people to rely on tools like buy now, pay later, but really probably not the best strategy for affording holiday gifts. Can you talk a little bit more about, like, what, for those who don't know, what is buy now, pay later?
Yeah.
And then how can you maybe avoid having to rely on those types of services over the holidays?
Yeah. So buy now, pay later programs are, you'll probably see them advertised if you shop on Amazon. And let's say your purchase is $100, they'll break it down where you can buy it in full without actually having to shell your money out up front, mm-hmm. and you pay it over, say, a series of, it's relatively short term, somewhere between maybe 4 to 6 months. So let's say they spread that over 4 months, your $100 purchase would then be four payments of $25.
Sure.
And so, although it's tempting because, you know, just you think of the psychological attachment to money, if you do that buy now, pay later, you're not going to see it come out of your account, and you're not going to feel it right away. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe, you know, if you do one or something, you know, but what I've seen is people, you know, buy now, pay later for a large amount of things, and then all of a sudden your $20 payment, if you've got seven of them or eight of them, it's going to be a lot higher, and mm-hmm. it'll be kind of a rude awakening when they all come together and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, you know, and I imagine it's really easy to lose track of what you've used a buy now, pay later service mm-hmm. for, because they make it so easy. It's just like opt in at checkout, mm-hmm. and then you don't even realize sometimes maybe what you're opting into. So, yeah.
I've got strong feelings against buy now, pay later. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you can't afford it, then just don't get it. You know, save for it, and you'll save yourself a lot of trouble by just not living outside of your means.
Yeah, and I imagine you, in your role in working with our underwriting team, you probably see a lot of our members who have used buy now, pay later services and are now in a position where they're kind of really strapped for money because they have committed themselves to these things without really having thought through the implications to their day-to-day budget, their monthly budgets.
Yeah, and with those buy now, pay laters too, those programs don't report to your credit report. So even if you say, oh, this might help with credit, it doesn't report. So you're going to have no value in doing that if there's any motivation to say, oh, I'll do it because it'll help with my credit. It's not going to help with your credit.
You know, interesting.
So it's something that just doesn't report, and I think I'm not sure why, but I'm sure it has something to do with how short term those loans are and everything there. I mean, I don't think they're technically deemed loans, but
yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So it sounds like buy now, pay later probably not the best choice for holiday shopping.
Yeah.
If you do need some kind of, you know, credit line in order to be able to afford your holidays, maybe a rewards credit card that you get ahead of time or something like that is a better option, just because it's a little bit more transparent. And while there is, you know, some interest rates that get applied to those, if you're paying them off in full, you're not likely to even pay on those interest rates anyway. And you have a little bit more control over what that looks like. And you're seeing all of that, those payments you've made in one spot instead of dispersed over these little tiny loans across multiple vendors potentially, which can be really stressful to manage, especially, you know, when, like you said, when those payments start to tick in and it gets to be overwhelming. So what, thinking about like planning ahead for holiday spending, we talked a little bit about budgeting, but is there tools that people can use to start to save money up front for holiday spending so that they aren't having to rely on credit cards and they maybe have some savings set aside that they can just pull from and that's like for that specific purpose?
Yeah. We've got holiday savings accounts that you can go ahead and put money into. I know a couple strategies that I personally utilize that for, you know, end of the year is throughout the year, like every month thinking about, okay, how are we saving for the holidays, you know, when you're in January just coming off of the holidays. But, you know, I have an automatic transfer that goes from our checking immediately to our savings account the day that I get paid and the day that my wife gets paid. We transfer a little bit over, you know, say in, you know, however much you can afford to do, because anything's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. And and so that's one strategy. Another thing that we do is there's an app, I forget what the name of it is, but essentially it gives you cash for filling up your car with gas.
So
like you fill up your car with gas and like just on Saturday we filled it up, we got 17 cents a gallon, which on an individual transaction level is really only a couple dollars. But if you do that consistently throughout the year, by the end of the year, you might have $100 and $100 is $100.
Yeah. You know? That's, you know, gifts for somebody you only kind of like, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then we use like a different, it's an app where they do like roundup investing in a sense where, you know, say if you spend $1.98, it'll take that 2 cents, round up to $2, and invest the 2 cents. So it's kind of like a savings account without having super immediate access to it. Sometimes if it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and you just let it happen until the end of the year, and you'll have something by the end of the year to help out with that.
Yeah, well, what I really like in kind of like all of these examples you've given is the automation piece of it. Like, just kind of set it and forget it. And especially if you know what your kind of holiday budget is for the year, you have a goal that you can work towards saving towards, and you can just kind of work backwards and go, okay, well, if I want, you know, $500 come Christmas time, I know I need to have X that each month that I'm putting away. And so, and I love the holiday club accounts that you brought up are really great too, because they do, it's a place for you to stick that money. And you can kind of know exactly where you're at for the year for that particular goal, and then it releases to you right in time for holiday shopping. So it's a great tool to use. Do you have any last minute holiday spending or budgeting advice for our listeners today?
Just don't live outside your means. It's short term, makes you feel good. In the long run, can be a lot of stress, and nobody wants to be stressed out.
Yeah. Well, awesome. So, well, thank you so much for being here today, Jordan. And again, this is Good Money Moves with First Alliance Credit Union. If you want to find out more about holiday shopping and keeping on your budget, check out our website at firstalliancecu.com. You can subscribe to this show on Spotify, Apple, or YouTube. And until next time, stay financially empowered.